1 month after Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the 15th day of Iyar, the Torah tells us, the day that would become Pesach Sheni just 1 year later, Klal Yisrael were taught a very important lesson as it was in the middle of its preparations for receiving the Torah. This lesson was the lesson of Shabbos as it related to receiving the miraculous man in the desert. They had just left Elam, an oasis with plenty of water and food, and now they arrived in Midbar Sin, a desolate and barren place. Even though they had just been freed of slavery, there was something about slavery which actually provided for them in a way that they no longer had, and that was the guarantee that they would be fed each day by their masters. Their masters had to do that if they intended to keep their slaves alive and have a slave labor force. God leading them into the Midbar like this was very intentional. This was to bring the people to realize their dependence on Hashem. And then they would learn how Hashem does provide. On Shabbos, there would be no man, because of what they brought from the field on Friday would turn out to be enough for Shabbos. Shabbos was the intended lesson here, says Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch. Shabbos puts God in the picture. The people had just been delivered by Kriyas Yam Suf. But once they were starving and thirsty, their anxiety increased, and all of that was forgotten. Rav Hirsch suggests that perhaps this is where Chazal get the saying, Kasha mizonosav shel adam yoser mikriyas Yam Suf, that it's harder to feed a person than it is to separate the sea, meaning from the human perspective, even if you've just had the sea crossed for you. If you don't have any food, that's even a harder situation, being on the wrong side of the Yam Suf. Freedom from this overwhelming anxiety, says Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch, comes only with a deep awareness that concern about one's livelihood, the foremost among all human concerns, does not rest, not even primarily, on man alone. I'd like to read to you some more words from Rav Shamshon Frohl Hirsch here. Man must realize that towards this end too, he can and he should do only his part, namely what God expects him to contribute towards the achievements of this objective. As for the success of his efforts, he must leave that to God, who watches over every household and every single human soul, and extends his mercy to all his creatures. Man must realize that his work for his livelihood is not a privilege, but a duty. As long as man is not instilled with this awareness, as long as he feels that it is he and he alone with his limited powers, is bound to the yoke of earning his livelihood, there is no end to his anxiety. This anxiety is likely to turn his world into a wilderness, even if he dwells in the midst of civilization, where there is much wealth, but also much competition. His anxiety can make him believe that he must secure not only the tomorrow, but his whole future, and even that of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This belief goads him into an endless and ruthless pursuit of greater wealth, leaving him no time for the pursuit of other aims and goals. It is for this reason that God led the future people of his Torah. And remember, this is the 15th of Iyar, which is exactly 1 month since they left Mitzrayim, 3 more weeks until they received the Torah, 4 weeks. For this reason, God led the future people of his Torah into an actual wilderness, where there were no means for livelihood. There they would face the anxiety of present needs that cannot be met, and a future that seems hopeless. There they would see for themselves and for all future descendants the thoughtlessness to which such a situation, even if it's only temporary, can bring a person. And we see this in the next pasuk. So let's have a look. Let's have a look. If you look at Pasuk Gimel in Perek Tezayin, Parshas Bishalach, there they are, hungry, thirsty. And Bnei Yisrael tells Moshe and Aaron, Mi yitein musenu b'yad Hashem. If only our death should come in the hands of God, the Eretz Mitzrayim, he maybe should have killed us there in Egypt. B'shifteinu al sir habasar, when we sat on the pots of flesh. We had nice stew back in the good old days. V'yachleinu lechem lesova. And we ate bread that filled us up. Now, what did you do instead? I say, you brought us out to this barren wilderness. La'misus kol ha'kol ha'zevarov, to kill this entire huge group of people in hunger. We should all die of hunger. This complaint came because of their remembering that they didn't have to worry about where is it going to come from. And this is intentionally what Hashem wanted to happen. He brought them to this point so they should learn this lesson. The following Pasuk Daladat tells Moshe, part of this Hashem confided in Moshe, and part of it he shared with Bnei Yisrael, and part of it was to be told only through what they witnessed, not by Moshe telling them this. So Hashem says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, here's the plan, God says to Moshe, Hinei mamtzi lochem lechem min hashamayim, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. V'yotzom v'loktu v'yom v'yom, people will need to collect it each day, specifically one day at a time. L'man anasenu hayelech b'sorosi, so that I can test them. Will they go in my Torah imlo? Apparently, the idea of taking only for that day was the point here. Don't take more. And then, this is again Hashem telling Moshe this, but as you'll see, the people didn't get to hear this next part. B'hoyu b'yom ha'shishi, it'll be on the sixth day, v'ichinu asasher yaviu, they're going to prepare that which they brought, which they anticipate is only for that day, because nobody warned them that they're going to need extra for Shabbos. B'hoyu mishneh, al asher yilkutu yom yom, it's going to be double. They're going to get a surprise when they open up their suitcases from the harvest of the one day collection of food. They come back home Friday after their harvesting time, and they see, look at that, we have for 2 days. So Moshe and Aaron tell the people, Vayomer Moshe v'Aaron pasuk vav el kol b'nei Yisrael, erev in the evening v'yidatem ki Hashem hotzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, it was God that took you out. And in the morning you'll know that. Why are you complaining? Uvoker isem eskod Hashem b'shamos tlun osechem al Hashem v'nachna mok yisalin olinu. So the part that they're going to get responded to for the complaining is going to be the slav. They're going to get the quail. The way Rav Hirsch understands it, the month was going to come regardless of whether they were going to complain or not. This is a critical part of the lesson. To respond to their complaining, they're going to get something extra, which is not exactly going to be a delightful experience, because some people are going to die when they eat this love because they shouldn't have complained. Maybe the tone was wrong. But God wanted them to feel the desperation, and he was going to respond anyway with the month, whether they asked for it or not. He wanted to teach them that lesson, but now it's only after they asked for it. Okay. So let's move on. Pasuk Tes Zayin. We're going to skip the part about the slav, since that's not the main point here. Okay. So it rains. It rains down. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem says to Moshe, I heard the complaining. There's going to be slav. That's Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And then the man is going to fall. That's pasuk Yudalad, Batal Shichvas HaTol, and a layer of tol of dew came down, and then it was on the ground. Dak Mechus Pas Dak Achvor HaLor, it's describing what the man looked like. Some thin without a husk, as fine as frost on the ground. And people started to wonder, what is this? And that's when Moshe said, it's man. They called it man, which means, what is this? And then when they ask this question, pasuk Yudalad, Moshe now adds, this is what Hashem told us about. Now Moshe starts to reveal what Hashem shared with him. Says Moshe in Pasuk Tzayin, Zeh Hadavar, this is the thing, Asher Tziva Hashem, that Hashem commanded, Liktu Mimano Ish Lufi Achlo, each man according to what he would eat in a day. Omer Lagulgolas, one Omer, that's a certain measurement, per person. Mispar Nafshal Seichem, the number of souls. Each man according to what's in his tent, that's what he should take. In other words, if you have 6 members of your household and you're going collecting this stuff, you come home with 6 specifically that, and this is a very specific command. You take exactly what you're supposed to take for that day. They did that, but they didn't exactly do precisely. Some took a little more, some took a little less. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayamodu HaOmer. So when they measured it against the Omer, but they realized that whoever took a little extra or took too little, the one who took more didn't get extra, and the one who took less didn't end up with less. Somehow they opened up the suitcases and it matched precisely. Turned out to be each one according to what they need to eat. That's what they ended up taking. In other words, some sort of miracle happened when they got home. And nonetheless, even if that was going to happen, if Hashem was going to adjust it for them, precisely what they needed that day, but as we said in Pasuk Dezayin, there's a very specific command that they must attempt, and even though Hashem is going to adjust it later, your job is to try to do your part. And you're supposed to measure the exact amount. And you're going to learn the lesson. You do your part, Hashem will do the rest. So, okay? So, Vayomer Moshe Elohim, so Moshe tells this to them, Ish al yoseh mimenu brocheh, don't leave anything extra over. Finish whatever you have there, it's enough for one day. Finish it. Don't leave any for tomorrow, because we're going to go through the same thing again tomorrow. Velo shamu el Moshe. They did not listen to Moshe. Vayosiru anashim mimenu brocheh. Some people left off extra. They were worried, what about tomorrow? So they didn't eat everything. Maybe they went a little hungry. And they saved some for tomorrow. Vayorim tolom. But worms came by Yavesh and it spoiled the food. Moshe heard about this, he got angry. That's not what the job was. Because they were supposed to take specifically, this is a training that Hashem is trying to teach them, that they should trust in Hashem, they should enjoy what Hashem gives them, and go through the lesson again tomorrow. If you start saving and worrying about tomorrow, then you, for that generation in the desert, you're worrying too much. You need to learn to trust. Okay? So we're going to move now to Pasuk Chaf Beis. It came Friday, Vayhi Beyom HaShishi. Along came Friday. Laktu Lecher Mishneh. And Moshe never told them about this thing about Shabbos. And each man, they came home and they saw, look at that. We have double the amount that we took. Laktu Lecher Mishneh. Shnei HaOmer. La'echad. They ended up, when they opened up the suitcases, I guess, or the stuff they brought back from the field, there was two omers per person. So the princes, the heads of the community, they went to Moshe and they said, what's going on here? Look what we have here. Now Moshe wanted, now the impression was there, they wanted them to witness this themselves. And now comes the lesson. So Moshe responds to them. Who asher dibra Hashem? Hashem also told me and Aaron about this too. Shabboson, Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem Machar. Shabboson. Shabboson means not just rest, but it means cessation from activity, says Hirsch. Hashem taught this already in the beginning of creation, that there's a concept of Hashem stopping his act of creation. And this is Shabboson. And now it's Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem Machar. Tomorrow this will continue for all of history. Hashem can and won't produce. He designed the world that there's one day where he stops creating. And what we learn from that is that all that came before was Hashem creating. When he stops creating, that shows that everything that came till now was from him. And now, if it was just some random force, it would have continued going on and on. But the fact that something stops and he designed the creation that it won't continue means there was a very intentional way that the world was made. Until now, Hashem was making things happen. He intentionally is stopping, and that's room for reflection on everything that came before. So, you need to bake and cook and prepare for Shabbos, Moshe goes on to say in the rest of that pasuk. Okay, and anything you have extra, that's fine, because you're supposed to have extra. There won't be anything tomorrow, Shabbos. So I'd like to read for you the words of Hirsch. That over here about Shmira Shabbos. They left it over. Let's look and go on. It's Shabbos Hayom. That's Pasuk Chaf Hei. Let me read for you on page 283. He who seeks his livelihood on Shabbos against God's will thereby denies that it is God who sustains and supports him. He demonstrates a belief that he can support himself without any reference to and even against the will of God, and that his sustenance and subsistence depend not on God's good will, but solely on his own efforts and on the means available to him by the laws of nature. He thinks that he has only to seek in order to find, only to find in order to possess, only to possess in order to be happy, and that none of this depends on God. A Jew who seeks his livelihood on Shabbos turns his back entirely on God and on compliance with his will. He has no master other than himself, and he breaks the bond between himself and all of God's law. And that's why we learn that someone who breaks Shabbos, he's in another category. He's someone who breaks Shabbos. It's a unique thing. It's not just any other mitzvah, but Shabbos is a testimony. We call a Jew who's from a Shomer Shabbos, because Shabbos is one of the central themes of who Klal Yisrael is. Okay, just a moment. So now Moshe reflects and he says, Re'u, come see, ki Hashem nosan lochem ha-Shabbos. God gave you Shabbos. Who al kein, therefore, who nosan lochem b'yom ha-Shishi. That's why he gave you, on this sixth day, lechem yomayim, double amount of bread. Shavu, so everyone should stay where they are. Ish tachtov, each man where he is. Al yetze ish mi mekomo b'yom ha-Shvi. No one should leave the area on the seventh day. It's a day of reflection. And the pasuk concludes, Vayishpesu ha'am b'yom ha'shvi. And they rested on that seventh day. Now remember, this is before they received the Aseres Adibros in the Torah at Har Sinai. Says Hirsch that at this time, they did not have all the laws of Shabbos. They heard about it in a general sense sometime before in the area of Mora, right after Kriyas Yam Suf. Now they're learning one action, which is the lack of action. But they weren't told about the 39 malachas. That's going to come later. They're beginning to live Shabbos in action. But again, this is the very first step. It's not the whole story. That's going to come later. So just to summarize what we learned over here, this is a very new idea that happened for the Jewish people. And this is the introduction of Shabbos back into the world. The world had a sense of Shabbos at the time of creation, but it was all abstract. And now, for the first time, there's something that they have to do, or not do in this case, and that is don't go earning a living. And you're going to learn who really there is to depend on and your connection to God, that the world is a world of spirit. God doesn't want you to become completely anxious and completely wrapped up in earning a living, because what am I going to do? I need to feed my family. Of course you need to feed your family. And God wants you to do your part. 6 days you're going to go out and collect the money. That's important too. He wants you to do that. But don't think it's really you that's making anything happen. He wants there to be a day of reflection to show you that there really is a God in the world. That God himself stopped creating. He took pause for us to notice that all of that was happening until now was God himself. And this will begin the process, the long, long process of world history, where the Jewish people begin keeping Shabbos later, just a few weeks later, they'll be learning all the halachas of Shabbos. But for now, it's this one essential lesson within Shabbos. Later, in all its little details, much more will be learned symbolically about no creative activity, which is Hirsch's famous piece on that. Perhaps we'll have a separate class on that. But the world ultimately, by seeing Shabbos reintroduced through the Jewish practice of Shabbos, the world will learn what it had forgotten about Shabbos from the very beginning of time.